The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And that last statement, we're not doing the will of God to be saved. We're doing the will of God because we are saved. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That is, when the world passeth away, those that are saved, doing the will of God, who have eternal life, will abide forever. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace. We want to thank you, Lord, for challenging our heart through the Scripture, for, Lord, meeting with us in the prayer room earlier. Thank you for, Lord, the song service tonight, blessing our hearts and directing our minds, Lord, to you, directing our heart to you. And, Lord, I think that is a successful song if it directs people's hearts unto the Lord and causes us to reflect upon our life as it relates to you, as to what you want in us and from us and for us. Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, that you will direct us in the service and help us to follow your lead. And Lord, I pray that we'll be reminded again tonight that our spirituality and all that that means, our spiritual condition and all that goes with it, is our responsibility. And Lord, help us to know tonight, as Miss Roxanne was testifying about, Lord, what we think on is a matter of choice. Lord, we can't think about everything. We can't think about everything, so we ought to be selective as to what we can think about and be quick to dismiss or delete what we know is not of God, that will not help us spiritually, that will not minister to us spiritually. And I believe the very topic that we're dealing with at hand this morning and tonight, Lord, no doubt is connected to our, not only our nature, but it's connected to our flesh and connected to our minds. Help us, Lord, I pray, to learn in these days how to be strong, learn how to deal with the things that are upcoming. And Lord, help us to be ready. Lord, you chose for us to be on the scene now instead of 100 years ago. We're on the scene now for such a time as this. And Lord, I don't believe it's your will that we be on the scene now and not be used, not be effective, and not have victory. Lord, I don't believe that it's your will for us to be on the scene today and live defeated and live as a hermit and not let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Lord, we are in desperate need of teaching. Teach us. Let the Spirit of God teach us. Let the Word of God teach us how we are to do and live and think. And Lord, help us as was testified earlier about our emotions. Please help us, Lord, with that. All of us have emotions. And most of the time, if not every time, that I've let emotions get in the driver's seat and get in the lead position, Lord, every time it led me wrong. I'm not to have my faith in feelings, but my feelings are to follow my faith. My faith is in the Lord. And that's why faith ought to be out front. Teach us, Lord. Speak to us. Help us to be strong and useful and effective in these last days. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to other people. There's people even today, Lord, that's not even wanting to live because their world's crumbling. And physically, Lord, as a citizen, Lord, I don't like what I'm seeing in our country. I don't like to see the destruction happening to this country that's very evidently taking place. Lord, but as a Christian, Lord, I need to step up and say, Lord, that don't change my calling. What's going on in this country nationally, politically, don't change my purpose. It don't have a thing to do with my new birth. It don't have a thing to do with the Master's desires to be fulfilled in my life. And that's not only said of me, that can be said of every Christian here and every Christian that's listening. That, Lord, what's going on does not hit the delete button or the pause button on the will of God for their life. You said, but he that doeth the will of God, that ongoing, continual action. Lord, help us to instead of looking how to get out of things and look for an exit button and look for things to, Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in these days and follow you. You know best. If you could lead the children of Israel through the wilderness when there was no road signs, when there was nothing to go by, Lord, you can take care of us and you can lead us and you can give us wisdom when we don't have it. You can give us wisdom to do and know what we need to do. Even though it may be something we've never faced before, you can give us wisdom. Help us to have discernment to where we'll know your voice when you speak. And Lord, you made it clear in John 10, my sheep hear my voice and they know me and they follow me. And Lord, I thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to prepare ourselves to where we can be useful, not only now, but in the future. Lord, speak to us through your word tonight. Direct my thoughts and my attention, because for sure I can't say it if I don't think it, if I don't see it, Lord. Help me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been looking at this passage, as you well know, and if you were here this morning, you know very well that we are dealing with now the particular aspect of this message, living for Christ in Antichrist days. I want to just ask a simple question to the congregation. How many of you, in light of our explanation of the word Antichrist and what we know about it, how many believe that we are definitely living in Antichrist days? How many of us believe that? There is no question about that. All right, that's the days that we're living in. How many believe that that God is interested in how we are to live in Antichrist days? He's interested in how we live in any day. Amen. He's interested in that. And we know that because you can follow even back as far as Noah, just for an example. God made note that here's what he said in chapter 6, I have seen thee righteous before me in this generation. Now what does that tell me? That tells me that even though Noah didn't know that God was watching, that Noah went ahead and did right. Amen. God has got his eyes over the righteous and his ears open unto our cry. And and he notes how we're living, right or wrong. Amen. And amen. It's not an accident. When God selected Noah to build the ark, that wasn't an accident. He'd been watching Noah. When God selected Mary to be the mother of our Lord physically, that wasn't a happenstance. That wasn't something just come about. He had been watching her. She was highly favored among women. Among women meant that she stood out. She wasn't just one out of the multitudes of women on planet Earth, but she was highly favored among women. That is, in the mix, she stood out. May God help us to have that stand out, stand up spirituality. That when God would need something to be done, that he would be able to say, I've been watching that young lady or that young man Or I've been watching that mama or that daddy. I've been watching that grandpa or grandma. I've been watching them in their life and through their life. And I want them to be, I want them to do this. I want them to do this. I think it would be an utter disgrace to be saved and go through life and God never ask you to do something. I don't know why we're on this, but we're on something. I don't believe it'd be God's will, friend, for God to save anybody and not have a purpose attached to it. That would completely destroy the teaching of the gifts of the Spirit. Everybody that's saved has got at least one gift of the Spirit. And a gift of the Spirit is to be used of the Spirit for the purpose of the ministry and to edify the church and to be a blessing to the church. So if you've got a gift tonight, and if you're saved, you've got at least one, that means your gift is needed. The body of Christ needs your gift. Is that not right? Amen. Don't spend all your time, no man, I can't do this, I can't do that. We heard Miss Roxanne tonight talking about God made her with all of her 400 weaknesses. I mean, I'm just kidding. Probably more than that, sis, right? If you're like me, probably more than that. But God made her. And not only made her, He loves her. Amen. Here, Moses was trying to talk God out of him being used. Well, I'm slow of speech, and as if God didn't know. Amen. When you got the idea of trying to get out of something and you're using the negative things in your mind and your life to get out of it, you're wasting your time. God knows those things. Amen. So God's got His eyes on us as we live in this day. As we're living in these perilous times, God's got His eyes still yet over the righteous. But when Peter wrote that word, and it's a quote from a book of Psalms, amen, that his eyes are over the righteous and his ears is open unto their cries. Listen, that wasn't a time sensitive. That wasn't a generation sensitive, a century sensitive subject. If Peter in the New Testament was quoting something from the Old Testament, that covers a wide range of years. His eyes are still over the righteous. And his ear is still open unto our cry. And the main theme of Peter is suffering and persecution. Amen. I believe the Lord is trying to help us. I do. I do believe that. But anyway, we've come to the place, if we're going to live the Christ life in Antichrist days, and that is God's will, because we're getting instruction right here, little children, it is the last time. God is addressing believers. You know what God's needing? You know what God is needing in the last days, in the last times? He's needing believers. He's needing some of His children that'll step up and be used of God. That's what He needs. That's what He wants. That's what He wills. Will you be one? Well, I don't know, preacher. I want to wait and see. I want to see what the consequences are. Really? Did Jesus weigh it out before He came? I don't know. If I go down there, I'm going to have to die. He knew all of that and willfully surrendered to it. Amen. That's right. God help us. God honors sacrifice. But anyway, we've been talking about that this morning. We got hung up a little bit this morning and everything. But my goodness, Lord, give us some stuff. We read all of the verses in 1 John about the world. And the world's mentioned many times in the Scripture. But I want to go back and read just a few Scripture. Not many, few Scripture. In John's Gospel, same one who penned down 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Revelation, so forth. Also penned down the Gospel of John. And look, if you will, in chapter number 14. I want to read two verses in chapter 14. That helps us see some of the nature of this world. I think that's part of if I'm going to live for the Christ life in Antichrist days. The point we started this morning is I need to have and must have a right relationship with this world. Amen. I can't be in a wrong relationship with this world, which is a carnal relationship. I need to be in a right relationship. And one of the things that should help us with that is to realize the true nature of this world. All right, chapter 14 of John's Gospel, verse 17. If I'm in the right verse here, maybe, let's see here. Chapter 14, I'm going to read it anyway. Even the Spirit of Truth, talking about the Spirit of God, capital S, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. Do you see that? The world has no connection to the Spirit of God. In fact, you want to make a note as far as a reference verse to that is 1 Corinthians, what is it, 2? Let me turn there real quickly. You don't have to turn. I'm just going to make sure my reference is right. 1 Corinthians 2, yeah, 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Here it says, that's what the natural man, the flesh, cannot receive of the Spirit of God. That's why it's so important that the Spirit of God, when dealing with a lost person, and parents, if you've got lost children, here's something you need to be praying. You need to be praying the Spirit of God do a quickening work in their heart, the children's heart. Because the natural man, the flesh, the Adamic nature, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Here's why. For they are foolishness unto him. But anyway, verse 17, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. See there, it shows us, oh boy, it shows us right there the natural, the nature of this world is one that is lived by sight. You see that? Because the reason the Spirit of Truth is rejected by the world can't receive the Spirit of Truth. Is the first thing mentioned is because it seeth him not. I'm not going to believe it. Why? I can't see it. Wait a minute now. I'm going to pause right here and preach a minute. Amen. You heard me pray, Lord, if I can't say it, if I don't see it. Amen. If I see it, we might as well say it, hadn't we? But look at there in that verse. He said, even the Spirit of Truth, referring to the Spirit of God, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Now I want to pause right there just a moment. God is rejected because they are the nature of the world is to live by sight. I won't believe it if I don't see it. Is that not a description of my unbelief and yours? When I don't believe, is it because I don't see it? How many of us want to see it before we believe it? Come on. Amen. That's not faith. I'll tell you what that is. I want to see it before I believe it. That's the nature of this world. That's the way the world thinks. And I'm fearful tonight that we are too much governed by that same nature. Yeah. God help us. Help our unbelief. God, help our unbelief. Amen. I said it this morning, said it tonight. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Oh my, let's go back. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. The Spirit of God is that, a spirit, and you can't see a spirit. But not only did it say that it seeth him not, it's the reason they can't receive him, or can't receive the Spirit of Truth. Amen. You can't receive truth because you can't see it. That's why when you witness to people or talk to people and you give them Bible truth, guess what? They look at you like a dying calf in a hailstorm. Why? They can't see it. It's foolishness unto them. You need to be saved. Saved from what? Yeah. Can't see it. Neither knoweth him. The spirit of this world does not know. I should have looked up that word. Know there. The spirit of truth is rejected by and cannot be received by the world. We're trying to show you the nature of the world. It cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. This world does not know the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that's elementary, that's simple, it's right there. But I wonder how many of us have erred and made wrong choices in our life because of ignorance on our part toward the Holy Spirit. I think that we need to become familiar with the Holy Spirit. We need to get in the Bible. Who wrote the Bible? I'll give you the answer in that mess up right there. We're having still get it. Huh? I wonder who can still get it. Amen. Who wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit of God used like 40 different authors over the course of several hundred years, amen, to write down and pen down under the inspiration of God the Holy Scriptures. And I think if the Spirit of God has that big of a part of our life, and everything God does is going to be through the Holy Spirit, I think it would do us well to get to know the Holy Spirit. The world, the nature of this stinking world is that they are not going to receive the Spirit of truth. They're not interested in truth. Lord, can we not? I'm not going to go there. There's all kinds of examples that truth is definitely not being sought after in our world. Fraud prevails. Deceit prevails, at least for now. Amen. I don't know what's going to happen between now and the coming of the Lord, but I know that when Jesus comes, thank God he is going. Listen, when he comes in the revelation, there's going to be a time when Jesus sets everything wrong right. He is going to judge this world. He's going to judge sin. He's going to deal with everything that needs dealing with. They think they're getting away with it now. They think they can cheat and lie and steal and take advantage of poor old citizens of America and forcefully put us in state of poverty. It's what they're trying to do, bring America down to a welfare state. That's a quote. That's the term that's being used, welfare state. Now you tell me who loves this country that wants to bring our country down to a welfare state. Poverty stricken. You know, for the purpose of what? Control. If you don't have nothing and you're starving or whatever, you got to, they can control you. But I promise you, that bunch of infidels, they won't dare be living on no welfare program. I promise you, that crowd won't be in poverty. Amen. And how people like that ever got in politics, I have no idea. I'm going to have to get off of that. I always pull for the underdogs. That may be why I'm a ball fan. I don't know. I always pull for the lesser. I always pull for the one that looks like there's no chance of them winning. There's no chance. It looks like, you know, I feel sorry for people that gets picked on. Even in school, they'd be bullies, stinking bullies, pick on little kids and bully, push themselves around. I've watched a few videos where them poor little ones get beat on and bullied. They got sick of it one day and they punched the lights out on the bully. I liked it. I felt God on it. I always pull for the underdogs. I feel sorry for people. It burns me up when somebody takes advantage of another person. A weakness, whatever, a situation. Price gouging, whatever you want to call it. I feel sorry for that. And brother, I'm going to tell you, that bunch up there in Washington, they are taking advantage of every citizen of this country. They don't care one thing about your future, your finances. They don't care one thing about nothing except having their way and having power over us and control over us. And that's my little political insert. They don't want truth. The spirit of truth. Truth has got a spirit attached to it. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Why? Because the Spirit of God is attached to truth. Well, we're going to spend all overnight in one verse, and I was just going to read these. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. Thank God I'm in that crowd. But ye know him. The world don't know him, but I know him. Amen. The world doesn't know him, but can you raise your hand that you know him? And you know him because he's in you. Amen. He come in when you got saved. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, but ye know him. For here's why. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I like that, don't you? Oh my goodness. Look at verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you. This is Jesus talking about him getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to depart. Hereafter I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. The prince of this world, that's identifying the God of this world. He's called the prince of this world. And I do want to point out, just for the sake, unless if the devil's listening, that the Holy Spirit seen fit to put that in a small case P. But if you look where Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, you'll find out that's a capital. I don't know. I really do want some of the English people in here to tell me and teach me, hopefully tonight after the service, what that means. There's got to be an English meaning there when there's a capital and then there's a small case letter. Amen. I'd like to know what that is. There's some meaning there. I don't want you to spend the rest of the night thinking on that, but I want some direction on that. Because this prince of the world cometh and hath nothing in me. But the world may know that I love the Father. Verse 31, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. Look at chapter 15. I've got to hurry. Goodness. In verse 18. If the world hate you, and we read verses out of 1 John about that this morning. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now listen, what can we learn right there? It is a definite statement in that verse that this world hates Christ. Now, why would anybody want to be like the world and be worldly and world-like when the very nature of this world is to hate Christ? Anyway, verse 18. Verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. It didn't hate you when you was in the world, but it sure hated you when you was chosen out of the world. Amen. I've had, I don't know how many people said, preacher, I didn't have all these problems before I got saved. I didn't have all these problems before I got saved. You know why? Before you got saved, the world loved you. And amen, when you got saved and you was chosen out of, that's the problem they don't like. You left an empty spot. You left an empty place, amen, in the army. You're not fighting that fight no more. You're not in that lineup no more. Thank God I still want to report to the devil, amen, and to the flesh and to the world that my spot has been empty for over 40 years, praise God. Amen. I like it myself. Anyway, let's go back to 1 John real quick. Man, I didn't get nowhere tonight. Not complaining. I still believe the Lord's give us some stuff, just what we said thus far. Oh, Lord, help us. I want God to give us what we need to be able to stand. I want to ask this question. I wrote it down. What has happened to the salvation that breaks up the love affair between a person and the world? What has happened to that? Where did it go? Now people claim to get saved and they stay in love with the world. Continue living the same old way. Everything continues. Everything is same. The same. Nothing changes. Oh, but I'm saved. That's not in the Bible. I have never found that in the Bible. Say they get saved, they continue to talk the same way. The same immorality is in their life. The same directions in their life. The same music's in their life. And on and on and on and on the list goes. I don't understand that. I don't have the authority, Brother Craig, to tell a person, you are definitely not saved, but I believe I could say, I sure wouldn't want to die with what you got. And I told a person that here. I was making a visit here not long ago in a trailer park, and I was talking, and I mean they were cussing every breath. They weren't cursing, they were cussing. Every breath. And they knew I was a preacher because I've tried to help them. I've tried to give them advice. I've tried every way in the world to be a blessing to them and see them get saved. Of course, they claim they're saved. And I mean filthy mouth. I had all of it I could handle. I was standing there in her yard, and I mean she was blankety this and blank that, and he was blanking back. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, I want to tell you something. I said, you sure got a filthy mouth to be a woman. She looked at me like I said, you know I care about you. I've proved that. I have proven in my life that I care about you and your family. Amen. I'd like to see you get saved. And I said, and you pointing to her and him, I pointed to him and I said, both of you claim to be saved. You've told me you're saved. And I've heard nothing out of y'all ever since I've known you except cussing and filthy mouth and never going to church, never interested in things of God. I said, I can't tell you you're not saved, but I can tell you this. I wouldn't trust what you got to take me to heaven. I wouldn't want to die with what you claim to have. Say amen. I want to say it again in the question form. What is happening? What has happened to the preaching of a salvation that breaks up your love affair with this world? Amen. 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 You heard Brother Craddock a while ago, and all of us can say it. We did what we were doing because we loved it. Amen. Loved it and lived for it. Amen. Work all week, save up dollars, trying to wait, get to the weekend and blow it on foolishness and stupidity. Amen. Love all the laughing and carrying on and cutting up. Love all that stuff. Amen. Are you listening? Listen, one of the hardest things that's in the way of the Spirit of God saving sinners is that they love it. They love it. They love it. Just as a sow loves the mire and the dog goes back to his vomit and all of that stuff. I want to tell you, friend, listen. Amen. And just a word of note to you young kids that are lost. I want all of you listening to me. If you ever feel the first time the pleasure of sin, if you ever feel the pleasure of sin one time, there's something that happens inside of you that'll lead you down the broad road to destruction. Because when you are being preached to and you're being instructed by your parents about being saved, you won't pay no attention to instruction. You won't listen to Preacher Rackley. You won't listen to mom and dad or grandparents or whoever. You won't listen to them. You know why? Because that pleasure feeling that you experienced in that whatever is going to rise up and be a dominant force in your life. You've heard me make this statement. You've heard me make this statement. The power of sin is the pleasure of sin. Amen. Young people, that's why it's so important you get saved early. It's so important why that we need to pray hard as a church, and parents join in, and us as a church and family join in together and pray hard for these kids to get saved when they're young. Because if they get up into the teenage years and with our culture, in our culture, you don't even have to wait till you get in the teenage years. There's some vile, wicked. Listen, I read not long ago, well, I don't even remember now how long ago it's been, but I read a statistic that one of the largest number of alcoholics are 9-year-olds. Now you tell me why a 9-year-old boy or girl would be interested in not just sipping around and sneaking around. I'm talking about alcoholic. Got to have it. You tell me why that is. And you tell me there's not a bunch of people in them that boy's girl's life that's not absolute failing. Amen. I've talked to a church in North Carolina. I'll not mention the church name. And the pastor was telling me about they would go over into the projects in that town and pick up some kids and bring them to church. And said they would have to get there and go inside the door, go inside the home and get the kids up, step over mom and daddy in their passed out condition. Step over mom and daddy, get the kids up, help them get dressed, get ready, and take them to church, feed them. They didn't have no food, feed them. You know, I want to tell you, that's sorry, buddy. That's sorrier than dirt. That a mama and a daddy will drink up and smoke up and shoot up and buy dope with food money that the kids should have. Amen. That's sorry, buddy. Amen. But they said they had to step. Listen, you talking about failing? Mom and daddy, all they care about is a high. All they care about is a pleasure. All they care about is whatever they're getting from that, whatever they're doing, drugs or drinking or whatever it is. And they're not thinking about their children. They don't think one second about where their children is going to spend it. You know if they're not thinking about what their children's going to eat. You know they're not thinking about where they're going to spend eternity. God, help us tonight. Amen, amen. I'm getting fired up, buddy. Lord, help us tonight, Jesus. Amen, Lord. I don't even know how I got on that, but that's all right. Yeah, what has happened to the salvation that breaks up the love affair of the world? That's what I'd like to know. We're not getting where we thought we was going to get. And I don't know if y'all care or not, but I don't. Because the Lord's really leading tonight. Turn to Galatians. Turn back to Galatians. If the world is everything the Bible says it is, I think it needs to be exposed. Don't you? Say what? I think it needs to be exposed. Amen. When it talked about in 1 John 2:15, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, all three of them are snakes. I think we ought to show all three of those statements in the light that they're in. There's nothing constructive about those three statements. Everything associated with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life is destructive. Destructive. And you can see it first exhibited in Eve because she failed in all three of those. And guess who was behind it? Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes and the pride of life. I think they need to be exposed. Amen. I don't know if it's so now. I don't believe nothing about our government. I don't know about you, but I don't have no confidence in our government. None. Zilch. That may not be right or I shouldn't be like that, but you pray for me. When they start showing me something that's credible, then we may have a little confidence. But my confidence is still in the Lord. My confidence is still in the fact that God's got a will that be done. Amen. God's got a will that needs to be done. There's no doubt about that. Amen. God, help us tonight. But look at Galatians. I lost that train of thought. Maybe it'll come back to me. When it's like it is tonight, there's all kinds of thoughts going through my mind and my heart. It needs to be exposed. I know what I was going to say. I don't know if it's like that now, but, you know, our world used to care about kids enough that, and they still may do that. I don't know. You'd be hard-pressed to let me believe that the government we have today cares about kids when they're killing babies all the way up to birth. But they would let everybody know where pedophiles were. You could pull it up on your phone, some website or whatever, and every address where there's a pedophile, which is someone that takes advantage of kids, defenseless kids. They ought to be, oh my goodness. Amen. You talking about taking advantage of, you talking about taking advantage of somebody that's helpless? You can't get any worse than abortion. Stinking doctor killing a little innocent baby. And on top of that, Brother Craig, the second one that comes to mind is pedophiles. Sorry, they're sorry, buddy. They ought to hold nothing back on judging that crowd. Don't stick them in no jail with colored TV and 3 square meals a day and let them go to the weight room and all that bunch of junk and live off the government. I'm not going to tell you what I think you ought to do. But anyway. But they, you know what? They identify people that are dangerous to kids. Ain't nothing any more dangerous than the world that they're living in. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those right there will destroy a child. There's no telling how many people that's in hell beneath my feet that are there because of one or two or all three of those. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They wouldn't get saved because of what they were, the lust of the eyes. They wouldn't get saved because of the lust of the flesh. They wouldn't get saved because of the pride of life. And something happened that they didn't think was going to happen. They died, and in hell they lift up their eyes being in torment. Why is churches not crying out against it? Why are we not exposing the wickedness of this world? God have mercy. Lord have mercy. Look at chapter 6 of Galatians. Man, I don't know what's going on out there in the pew, but I tell you, son, I feel it in my soul. Look at chapter 6, verse 14 of Galatians. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. This is the Apostle Paul writing. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. Oh, and it's not done yet. And I unto the world. We talk about the cross of Christ. We talk about the crucifixion of Christ. Where's the preaching at that identifies those other two crosses? What those other two crucifixions? Where's the preaching at on that? Where's the exposure to that? All they ever talk about is the preaching of the cross of Christ, and Lord knows that needs to be preached more and more and more and more and more. You can't deal with that in excess. But what about there in the same verse? He said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. When something is crucified, it dies. Did you see that? Jesus, there's 3 crucifixions in that one verse. Christ was crucified for sin. And then it says in that same verse, connected with that, and in the word Christ does not end with a period. The thought continues as if the cross of Christ, if that's happened in your life, guess what? The next thing happened in your life, and then the third thing happened in your life. What are the 3? Christ was crucified for me, the world was crucified unto me, and I unto the world. What is happening? That right there is nothing but a statement of salvation. That's a one verse description of salvation. Where is that at today? Spent 40 years preaching to people, trying to warn them, and very few people ever listen. Some have, and some are sitting here that have. Amen. Sometimes I wonder. Preaching and running and going and doing. Does anybody even care? But as long as I've got breath in my lungs, I'm going to keep warning. The watchman on the wall, I'm going to keep warning. I'm going to keep pointing out the enemy. I'm going to make sin look as bad as I possibly can. Amen. Amen, Lord. Help us, Lord. And where's the young preachers? Where's the upcoming preachers at? And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about across the in churches that I'm familiar with. Where are they that's rising up, that's seeking God, that's got a touch of God on their life, and it matters to them how they live? And it amen. Where are they? Brother Henry, you're how old now, Brother Henry? Brother Henry, 73. I've known Brother Henry for many years. Him and Miss Vicky. They're climbing the ladder. They're climbing the age bracket. Preachers that we have seen stand in this pulpit have already made the crossing. I'm climbing the bracket as well. There's a high demand in our day for somebody that'll preach the truth. I don't know how many's really interested to hearing it. Amen. I have told people when I go preach a revival, I have told them on Monday night, listen, if you don't want the truth, if you don't want no help, if you don't want to change, please let your preacher know so I can go to the house. I've got too much to do to waste 5 or 3 days or 5 days or whatever pulling on something or somebody that don't want to move. Amen. Amen, Lord, help us. Amen. I don't know how many, well, I'm not even going to get on that. Anyway. But I don't understand where that's gone. I heard a lot of that kind of preaching when I was saved. And, you know, it was pretty common. You went to hear preaching in or Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or go hear somebody in revival. You could count on it. They're going to be dealing with sin somewhere through the course of that. They're going to be dealing with it. Our problem is sin. The problem of America is sin. The problem of our world is sin. I didn't really get down to it, but yet again, I have been dealing with the first thing that I was wanting to deal with tonight was, why is it that we should separate ourselves from the world? If I'm going to live a Christ-like life, I need to have a right relationship to the world in regards to separation. Why? Why should I have a proper separation relationship to this world? Young people, why should you? Why should I? Why is it important? The first thing, and I've been dealing with it, is because of the world's God and nature, because of the nature of this world, because of the God of this world, because of the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, the God of this world. Little G-O-D, the very nature. I'm just give you some things I wrote down. We'll just wind it down here. The world in the text, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The word world there is not speaking about nature, far as you're not supposed to love the flowers and birds that sing, and you're not to love the landscape. It's not talking about nature. It's not even talking about people. It's not even talking about men, people. Love not men, love not people. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a system. It's talking about a system. Amen. A system, I wrote it down like this, a system that is headed up by Satan, the wicked one, the god of this world, for the purpose of opposing the work of Christ on the earth. That's the world. Here's you some more. The word world identifies a system that excludes God. If that don't define this world, I don't know what does. A system that excludes God. Even in America, we're hearing talk and we're seeing action taking place to suppress anything about that. Freedom of speech, anything of that like that. Freedom of religion. It don't matter if you work, Listen, in America, you can believe it. Worshiping a cow is all right, but you can do it. It ain't right, but you can do it in America. Freedom of religion. You can even practice freedom from religion. If you want to be an atheist, America, you can do it. But we're seeing freedom of religion go down the tubes. Freedom of speech going down the tubes. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Anyway, let me just read these. If I could read them, I'll get through quicker. It is a system that excludes God and is a rival against God. Satan, the god of this world, opposed God. Listen to this. Boy, Lord, give this to me. Satan, the god of this world, opposed God when he was in heaven as Lucifer. Now, you think about the audacity of that. You think about Lucifer, the son of the morning, opposing God in his own domain, and was so powerful that he deceived one third of the angels to fall with him. And guess that one that opposed God in heaven and led one third of the angels away from God, loyalty to God and following Lucifer? That's the god of this world. He's still opposing God. He's still opposing God. And he's still leading people to turn away from God. I wrote this down in light of that. If he can deceive angels, surely he can lead astray Christians. The way he does it now is to draw you into a love relationship with the world and of the flesh. Three enemies listed: world, flesh, devil. But nobody will love the devil, if you got any sense. So the devil works on those other two to get you to love the world and love the flesh. Love the world and love the flesh. The word world, named as one of the enemies, is an invisible spiritual system opposed to God and Christ. The whole world, 1 John 5:18, read it this morning, the whole world lieth in wickedness. I'm going to give you one other verse, and you'll see this verse another time in our study. The Lord leads us. I want you to look at this verse, 1 Corinthians 2. Hopefully I'll not elaborate on it. I'll just show it to you. I want to wait till later because I actually want to cover this on another point. I want to read this verse just to show you what we should already know, especially by Ephesians 2, where it talks about the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Listen, you young kids, when you're disobedient to your parents, guess who's behind that? It's not just, I don't want to do that, Mama. I don't like that. I'm not picking that up. I'm not cleaning up my room. You think that's just you disobeying? The Bible says, does that carry any weight with you? The Bible says there is a spirit that's working in the children of disobedience. And it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2, verse 12. It came from verse number 9, 10, 11, talking about the Spirit of God. And he comes into verse 12. Now we have received... Listen, Paul writing, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Hello? I'd never seen that. How many has got that underlined? You probably don't, because I didn't. I'd never seen that. I've read 1 Corinthians several times. I'd never seen that. That never stuck out to me. The spirit of this world. That tells me that there is that everything that's going on, the god of this world, the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, Ephesians chapter 6, when it goes down there talking about the warfare and putting on the armor, it goes through all of that list of principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are all ranks of demonic spirits. I want you young people to know, I want us to know that God identifies that God's people have not received the spirit of this world. There is, when a person is yielding to worldliness, you're yielding to a spirit. That drive within a person to turn away from holiness and go away from the standards of the Scriptures and the principles of the Scriptures. Guess what? That is the influence of the spirit of this world. The spirit that's working behind the scenes. Oh, I just want to be popular preacher. I just want everybody to like me. I want to be voted the most likely to succeed. And I want that. Guess what? Guess what? That's the pride of life. That is one of the footprints, fingerprints of the spirit of this world. Do you see that? 1 Corinthians 2. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. We have not received the spirit of the world. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We should be separate from the world. Why? Because of the world's God and the world's nature. Why would I want to be fond and friendly and pursue conformity? Be not conformed to this world. Pursue conformity to the world. That is the spirit that's leading sinners to reject Christ and stay lost and die in their sin and go to hell.